Welcome to today's Strategic Housing Podcast, where our goals are to connect people, share innovative ideas, and collaborate with our partners on affordable housing opportunities and replicable models that strengthen our communities in Kentucky and across the nation. My name is Edwin King, and I am the Executive Director of Kentucky Housing Corporation. Today's special guest, Stockton Williams, is the newly appointed Executive Director of the National Council of State Housing Agencies, or NCSHA. For our listeners, if you're not familiar with the National Council of State Housing Agencies, or again, NCSHA, this organization was created by the nation's state housing finance agencies more than 40 years ago to coordinate and leverage their federal advocacy efforts for affordable housing. NCSHA represents its members in Washington before Congress, the administration, and the several federal agencies concerned with housing, including the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Agriculture, and the Treasury, and other advocates for affordable housing. Stockton Williams is a high-energy leader, strategist, and advocate with over 25 years of impact in the public, private, and nonprofit sectors in an impressive career dedicated to expanding housing opportunities. He has also served NCSHA previously in a leadership role and returns from the Urban Land Institute, where he served as Executive Vice President of Content and Executive Director of the Terwilliger Center for Housing. While there, he had executive management responsibility for research and analysis on housing and communities, real estate finance and investment, urban sustainability, and development practice. He is an author and frequent media commentator on housing issues and an advisor to local communities across the nation. So Stockton, as we welcome you back to NCSHA in your new executive leadership role that begins in April, I thank you for being a guest on our podcast today.
It's my pleasure, Edwin. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, to get started, maybe tell us a little bit or expand upon your background in affordable housing, perhaps.
Well, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. And as I was growing up in the suburbs of Baltimore, I learned about efforts underway in neighborhoods around our city to revitalize areas that had been left behind, to fix up and improve housing conditions. And at a pretty early age, was inspired to pursue that area of interest in my career. So I began as a developer of affordable housing in Baltimore and also worked in that profession in South Carolina. As my career progressed, I've had opportunities to be an analyst and advisor to housing development companies and public agencies. I had a great privilege to work in the federal government for several years as a policymaker on housing issues. And as you mentioned, Edwin, I had an experience at the National Council of State Housing Agencies where I really learned firsthand the importance and the innovation of state-led approaches to meeting our housing needs. So it's a huge honor for me to have a chance to come back to the organization and help lead it in the new direction that we see ahead of us for housing at the national level.
Well, certainly your resume in affordable housing is very, very impressive, as one that I was impressed by. So what attracted you to affordable housing?
Well, you know, housing is, of course, a necessity. You know, food, clothing, shelter are really the three things that every human being needs. And, you know, at the most basic level, I've always been interested in solving challenges related to housing, because if you go around the country, you see housing problems really affect all kinds of people and communities, young and old, urban and rural. You really see the importance of housing in so many people's lives. And while most of us in the United States are relatively well housed, and fortunate to be so, there are growing numbers of our fellow citizens who really are living in substandard conditions or paying too much for their income for housing. So that's why I see housing as being important. In terms of why it appeals to me and why I've spent my career working on housing issues, housing is really an area where design, development, public policy, and community engagement all come together. So it's an interdisciplinary process to deliver a high quality home for a family that requires a lot of collaboration and creativity and is enormously rewarding and very tangible to see the end result of. So I think those are the reasons that I've continued to remain very passionate about affordable housing and housing opportunities for everyone.
So Stockton, has there been a particular story that drives your passion to lead the national effort in providing affordable housing solutions?
There have been so many stories. I'll give you one recent one that it sort of serves as a continual reminder to me of why I do what I do and why I think what you do at the Kentucky Housing Corporation and all of the state housing agencies do. My family and I will occasionally prepare and serve dinner for a group of homeless folks who are offered temporary overnight shelter in our church during the coldest part of the winter here in Washington, D.C. One time we were doing this recently, my son, who's 11 years old, came up to me and said, "Hey, Dad, there's a guy here who drives my school bus. And for him and me, that was a pretty profound reminder that people from all walks of life are experiencing housing challenges, including the most severe one of them all, which, of course, is being homeless. On the way home that night, my daughter, who's 9 years old, asked me, "Dad, when the weather gets warm, where will all the people who are staying in the church tonight go live?" And of course, I had to tell her they didn't have a place to live. And she was very moved by that, even at a young age. So it's really the experiences that I've had with people who are really experiencing housing challenges firsthand that sort of undergirds my commitment and inspires me to try to work harder.
Wow. It really explains the why in our mission here.
Absolutely. And we all know people who are suffering or experiencing challenges with respect to their housing situation. It's not something that, we're comfortable talking about, even amongst our closest friends and family. But it's a growing problem that we're really struggling to respond to as an industry and as a society. And that's why I think the work of the National Council of State Housing Agencies is important, and why, really, NCSHA is a platform, an umbrella for the efforts of all kinds of organizations who share our commitment.
Yeah. So speaking of challenges, what are some of the challenges you see in affordable housing, either regionally, nationally, or both?
Well, it's a great question. I think, of course, the specific housing challenges really do vary by region. The specific housing needs you're addressing in Kentucky are different from your fellow agency in Washington State or Texas or New Hampshire or any other place. At the same time, there are some commonalities that really apply almost everywhere these days. And I explain it like a very simplistic but incredibly difficult to solve equation. And it is as follows. What we ultimately are trying to produce more of, housing, a home or an apartment, costs more and more and more. The amount of support and assistance from the public sector and philanthropy is going down. And the needs for folks who have housing affordability challenges are skyrocketing. So you sort of put that equation together, and it really becomes a multifaceted problem that has to be solved and unwound. On the one hand, with close attention to what the real specific drivers are in a particular state or community. And on the other hand, with an understanding that the federal government and society as a whole really does have an important role to play in helping states and local communities deal with housing challenges.
On the flip side of that, what are some of the opportunities that you see in affordable housing, either regionally or nationally?
Well, it's sometimes hard not to be discouraged when we look at the trend lines with respect to housing needs in this country, which you know so well, Edwin, and they are very real in Kentucky and every state. We've got millions of Americans paying not just one third of their income, but half of their income or more for their rent. The home building industry is only producing about 20% of the number of new starter homes for folks who would like to become first-time homebuyers as they were 10 years ago. And for people experiencing homelessness or at the very bottom of the income spectrum, there are often simply no options for a decent place to stay on any given night. So where's the reason for optimism? Where are the opportunities? I think there are several. First, in looking at what the development community, from home builders and apartment developers to nonprofit groups, are doing to be creative, to look for ways to deliver high-quality housing at lower costs, I think we're seeing, finally, the kind of innovation that has disrupted and transformed so many other sectors of the economy start to happen in our industry, and that's reason for optimism. Second, the way that local communities and states have put together new resources and partnerships to address housing needs, I've never really seen in my 25-year career, the level of creativity and collaboration happening at the local and state level, as has been playing out over the last several years. And the results suggest that approaches that work, that are delivering results, can be scaled up and adopted more widely. And then finally, even as all the listeners know, the federal government doesn't generally prioritize affordable housing, doesn't maybe invest as much as we certainly think is necessary. There is a growing bipartisan recognition in the House and the Senate that some important and effective tool for dealing with housing problems really deserve to be preserved and even expanded. These include bond financing and tax credit programs that are run by KHC and other state housing agencies, and the role that the secondary mortgage market through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac plays and can continue to play. So I'm cautiously optimistic that the innovation, the creativity, and a commitment that we believe is starting to slowly grow at the national level will start to create the conditions for us to make more progress on the challenge.
That's great. Well, as stated earlier, the National Council of State Housing Agencies, NCSHA, it's a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization created by the nation's state housing finance agencies like KHC more than 40 years ago to sort of coordinate and leverage those federal advocacy efforts. What are your initiatives to push NCSHA forward in its advocacy role?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is a lot of listening. As we were discussing earlier, I did start my career and had a great 5-year run at the National Council of State Housing Agencies. And I've remained active in NCSHA as an affiliate member. But I don't know nearly enough about what you're doing in Kentucky and what your colleagues are doing in all the other states. So I'm really looking forward to visiting with the state agency directors and staff, meeting with your partners who are helping you deliver affordable housing, hearing what's on your mind, what's working, where NCSHA could be a more effective and useful resource to you. Two areas that I'm particularly interested in exploring are, first, in our federal advocacy efforts. I believe the housing community has the opportunity to engage other stakeholders for whom housing matters deeply in our efforts. So, for example, employers, educators, public health providers all really have a stake in ensuring that their fellow citizens or their employees are well housed. And if you look in states around the country, they're starting to come to the table with the State Housing Finance Agency and other housing groups to make the case for why investment in affordable housing really matters and how important it is. So I think building a broader advocacy and educational constituency on behalf of housing is an area of opportunity for NCSHA. The second one is to really further tap and leverage the amazing creativity and innovation that is happening in the state housing agency network. Our organization, NCSHA, gives annual awards for leading state HFA programs. And we have conferences and events where the staff of the agencies can learn a little bit from each other. But I believe there's so much more that the agencies are doing in their states that can be the model or the basis for other agencies to learn from and use, and even new federal policy ideas that members of Congress and the administration can champion. So that's a second area that I'm excited to spend time on as I start up in the job.
That's great. Well, first of all, let me say that we would definitely welcome you to Kentucky, and we look forward to you visiting some point in the near future. Secondly, I'm glad to hear you say some of these things. When over the next year or in the foreseeable future, at least, Kentucky housing is really going to be focused on holistic housing models. We have a couple in the state that have been successful and are being replicated in other states. But you're absolutely right. Trying to engage those community leaders and others that aren't necessarily connected to housing is a very important way we can perhaps expand upon our efforts in affordable housing. With that being said, how can we better engage those community leaders and others not necessarily connected to housing to work together and examine community issues holistically and integrate affordable housing, like you said, education or healthcare, jobs and the economy, and infrastructure solutions?
I think it starts with outreach and making a connection. If you ask a business leader or employer in a community that's experiencing high housing price increases or rents, they'll tell you that they're worried that the folks that work for them or their customers are having a harder time getting to the job. If you talk to a teacher, you know, they'll say that one of the surest signs that the child is going to have trouble in school is if their family has to move on a frequent basis, or certainly if they're living in a substandard or inadequate home or apartment. And I think more doctors and nurses and public health officials, you know, really see the evidence-based connections between all kinds of health challenges that our society is dealing with to the quality of the home environment, as well as the stress and pressure that families who don't have a decent place to live have to deal with. So I think for the housing community to engage with these other sectors at the local and state level by showing the evidence and making the connection, we can enlist and create a broader housing advocacy coalition. I also think it's important in building a broader advocacy movement to hear about and learn from what matters to these other stakeholders in what we do. Sometimes I have learned that the way a houser approaches a particular problem may have impacts or unintended consequences for a person working in a school or running a business or working in a health facility. So I think it's important that, you know, we in the housing community see this opportunity to build a broader coalition as a two-way relationship, because so many of the challenges that we're all really working to address as a society are interlinked. Housing is certainly at the center of them, but these other problems are also multifaceted, and we might be able to help them in their efforts, just as we believe they can be a resource to our cause.
Yeah. One of the things we're closely monitoring here, and a lot remains to be seen with this, is the opportunity zones that were passed in the recent tax legislation. like I said, a lot remains to be seen, but perhaps an opportunity with those opportunity zones would be something like a workforce housing where you have maybe a private entity that sees the benefit of delaying capital gains and where they have that opportunity perhaps to invest in something like affordable housing. So we're closely monitoring that. I don't know if you've heard anything in your line of work at the Urban Land Institute or elsewhere, anything about those.
Well, I have, and I think the Opportunity Zone program is a really exciting initiative. It was part of the big tax cut bill. It was really championed by Senator Scott from South Carolina, Republican on the Finance Committee, who had worked for a couple of years with some business organizations and analysts and advocates and really taken a look at this enormous economic engine in trillions of dollars of deferred capital gains that with a creative tax incentive could potentially be tapped to support housing and economic development and jobs in underinvested areas. So it's really encouraging that the states through their governor's offices are really the points for identifying where the tax benefit through the opportunity zones would be targeted. And it's exciting to see that you and so many other state housing agencies are sort of at the table helping your governors and your economic development offices determine where the most strategic areas to target the opportunity zone tax incentive may be. It's certainly something that has got an enormous amount of potential. And as we were just talking about, could be a very practical and tangible way for housing organizations to work directly with employers, with local communities on integrated approaches to bringing capital to areas that need it for housing, jobs, and economic development.
And a lot has yet to be written on them. So we're cautiously optimistic on what's going to come out, but we're definitely watching with a close eye. Talking about some maybe successful housing models, is there a successful replicable housing model that you would like to see offered in some states that are not currently offering those, but where they're doing those successfully in other states?
The answer is yes. And there are lots more than one. As we were discussing a little bit earlier, NCSHA has done a pretty good job over the years at highlighting the innovations in state housing finance agencies' delivery of resources and programs. There's much more that we can and will do on that front. And so, you know, Kentucky Housing Corporation's years-long commitment to energy efficiency and training in schools and creating pathways for contractors and jobs while also helping folks lower their overall housing and utility costs is a program that other states could learn from, I have to think. And similarly, what the state of Washington has been doing with farm workers and others in small rural areas, or the ways that Utah has used different forms of bond financing to expand its revenue base and make the limited federal dollars that are available go that much farther. The ways that Minnesota really worked to cut down costs and regulation and enable developers to more effectively access its programs. The list goes on and on. And while I think some information and best practice sharing has always been part of the housing finance agency network through NCSHA, there is a lot more that we can do to both showcase and then help more states actually utilize replicable model programs.
Great. One of the things that we oftentimes deal with here at Kentucky Housing Corporation is attracting and keeping young future leaders, talented individuals in affordable housing. And oftentimes, being a quasi-governmental agency, oftentimes we lose those talented professionals to the private sector. How can we better attract young future leaders to take on this charge and advocate for affordable housing opportunities?
I really appreciate the question because it is so important to our ability as a country to fully address the housing affordability challenges that have gotten more complicated and aren't going away anytime soon. What I try to tell younger folks who are looking at their career options is if you want to learn and acquire firsthand hard skills in design, development, construction, property management, finance, affordable housing development is a great place to learn and to build skills that can take you in any number of directions in your career should you choose to leave the affordable housing field. If you're like me, you won't, because the other thing that you will learn if you start is that in addition to building your toolkit of expertise and professional contacts, you'll be doing your part to change the world and having a heck of a lot of fun doing it. I really think the affordable housing industry is incredibly exciting, rewarding field to be in, whether you're in development or construction or finance or working in the policy and public environment as you are, Edwin. I think, you know, we need to make sure that we can attract and retain the next generation of talent, because the issues are important and we'll need the best and brightest in our society to do their part to help solve them.
Well, as a member of NCSHA and a member of NCSHA's board, Stockton, I am very excited to have you on our team and look forward to the great things that you're going to do at NCSHA. Thank you again for your time and sharing your expertise and vision with us as NCSHA's new executive director.
It was my pleasure, Edwin. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to coming and seeing you in Kentucky as soon as I get started.
Well, we would certainly welcome that. To our audience, thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast on your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Also, follow us on social media until the next time. Thank you.